Episode 1. What's the story? Historical and cultural context. During prehistoric time, the Horus region, in what is known today as Algeria, was inhabited by the Caspian people and the troglodytes. From antiquity to the Middle Ages, the history of Horus was an integral part of the history of the ancient independent kingdoms, Massaciles and Massilis, Getulie, Mauritanie, Caesarienne, Numidia, Mauritania, Ifriqiya, and Central Maghreb. Many revolts happened against the invading kingdoms in the history of Maghreb and in the Horus. In the course of history, the Imaziren opposed the Romans, Byzantines, Vandals, Umayyads from antiquity to the French conquest in 1845. And it is in the Horus that the Algerian Revolution started first, in Batna, to later lead to independence in 1962 from Algeria. Chaouia, or Tachaouit, is a language spoken in Algeria by the Chaouia people. The language's primary speech area is the Horus, mountain in eastern Algeria, and the surrounding areas. It is interesting to look at how this knowledge is produced and transmitted. Because of the land they live on, hard soils of the land and a narrow territory, they had to diversify their way of living. Based around agriculture, pastoralism, arts and craft, there was also a big variety of professions that allowed them to adapt their behavior depending on the environment and the different contexts they went through. For each profession, there was a technical knowledge and a linguistic one. Therefore, language was, as Abdennasser Gejiba argues, in itself an object of transmission, a way of being and doing. With this, they could elaborate strategies to face risk and face environmental changes. They would observe the environment, wind, moon, stars, cloud, to determine the right time for harvest and for the cattle shearing, etc. As for most rural societies, oral tradition was the main way to transmit knowledge between generations, but also a full part of the social and relational interactions. These were transmitted through memorization and repetition. They had no individual authors, but were accepted as a collective creation, if we can say so. Even though orality was the main way, experience was also an important way to assure the transmission. Knowledge transmitted to the youth had the objective to teach them social values, the good way to act, and to be in the forms of games or entertaining content. The process of transmission starts inside the family through observation, imitation, and repetition, and later by the different environments an individual might go through transmission from a brotherhood, a tribe, or a society. This transmission through socialization was representative in a way of the society's ideology. As an example of tradition that used both storytelling and magic, I will expand on the Bokalas and Zerdas. Those examples are the one that crystallizes the most this idea of magic as a social practice to my knowledge. A few forms of this mode of transmission are Bokalas, Zerdas, and music. Bokalas, according to the Encyclopédie Berbère, is a divinatory practice which has become a game accompanied by short poems, recited or improvised, which are interpreted as omens. The game is played by women and always at night, preferably the eve of Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. The essential element which gives the practice its name is a two-handled clay vessel filled with water that the officiant, usually an elderly woman, balances on her two thumbs stretched out at face height. Zerdas, sometimes translated as meal or feast, are a celebration to the memory of a saint, a marabout. People party, make food, and invite people to honor this saint. The only sources I could find for this are the childhood memories of my dad, therefore I don't know much about the specificities of this celebration. The cult of Marabu and Zaraz were highly revered by the Shawis of the Ores Massif. They were celebrated at alternate times of the year. Men, women, and children participated in these celebrations. They brought them moments of truce and rejoicing. These Zardas were fought by the religious reformist movement in Ores. The knowledge associated with it has completely fallen into disuse. Gejiba. Shawiya music. Shawiya music was also one of the tools used to transmit knowledge. Originally, the Shawi musicians were shepherds who lived in the Ores Mountains and they sang poetry. Like all the greats of the Shawi song, either the lyrics of the song represented a moment of their lives or it was about their surroundings. But in general, the chosen themes referred to historical facts like the War of National Liberation and its heroes, such as Mustafa Ben Buleid or Amirush, but also joyful themes such as local or religious festivals or Shawiya weddings. All the shepherds I work with in Gerbes are musicians and storytellers. Their favorite instrument is the gazba, a reed or metal flute. There are also plastic ones. This instrument was also called six cylinders. El Hadj Latresh, my host in Gerbes, was renowned for his talents as flutist, and his sons Saïd and Daraji, who is also a shepherd, take over in weddings or family or friends. These men have no commercial approach to music. For them, it is a gift that must be shared with everyone without trying to earn a living with it. When his wife Noara bothered him more than usual, sacred woman that my auntie Noara, I remember that he took his gazba and interspersed poem on the theme of their argument and frenzied flute solos. I don't think I became a musician by chance. Karim Tejani for GerbesAlgerie.com. As one of the main goals of Shawiya music is to tell stories and by expansion history, it should not be seen as an exotic folklore as it did in the colonial archives, but as a historical complement. Among the salient dates inscribed in the collective memories, we note that the conquest of Belisma in 1844 by General Sileg, a scholar from the Ngaos region, provided us with a qasida celebrating the resistance of the Eid Sultan to the conquest. Here, an unknown poet notes these few words aligned as a statement and witness to history. Idhmni dil kufar, gudran nath sultan, bidetya nath sisliman, durn neg ghazan, dhin timlutin skor amokran, ulminen la labad la duban. The Kufar smashed the mountain from Haid Sultan. Get up, Haid Sisliman. They are at the bottom of the ravines. The antagonists engage in cannon fire. Neither men nor beast were saved. Hadad. Magic as a social practice. This orality and storytelling can also be found in the indigenous magic practice in the Ores and North Africa in general. While several works devoted to Amazigh tradition evoke magic, there are few studies that deal specifically with it.
It is a question here of magic, witchcraft, and the domestication of the djinn. Far from being universal, this type of knowledge is fragmented, divided, and unevenly distributed among different members of society. It is reserved for certain ancient people who proclaimed themselves to be holders of the secrets and the key to the locks of these unknown doors. The territory of this knowledge is today very small. Its circulation is carried out clandestinely in order to guarantee its conversation and dissemination within this elite. This diffusion takes place sparingly to the younger generations, because by sharing their knowledge, the elders lose some of their power over other members of society. We generally speak of a gift. A gift is, as a rule, individual. This relationship with the sacred is no stranger to it. Transmission occurs in different ways, by learning or by inheritance, by inspiration or even by possession and domestication of spirits. It only concerns certain people who may in turn be custodians of this knowledge.
These magical practices were for a long time coexisting with Islam and were seen as a profession. That leads to think that those practices were built to resist under another belief system dominion and created path through informality ingrained in its structure and practices.
Positive or negative magic. Within these two groups, there are oral rites, manual rites, or rites combining the two, simultaneously or successively. Positive magic can be called upon to cure illness due to a bad spell, the cause of which is determined by the sorceress by a divinatory process. It also plays a prophylactic role by preventing all kinds of harmful attacks that can affect children, the circumcised, and engaged couples.
It shows another aspect of orality uses and methodology, here to safeguard knowledge and to give status in society. It is a tool for the safety of others. By holding this knowledge limited, they avoid individual use of it that could turn destructive. In that sense, magic engages in the politics of the society. There is a true power to it. Decline of traditions and transmissions.
Today, in the face of the social, economic, and cultural changes in the Shawi country, and particularly in rural areas, this knowledge of tradition, essentially oral, is disqualified in absolute societal insouciance. A disqualification that is growing more and more with the growing gap between the elder generations, holders of this knowledge, and the rising generations disinterested and careless of this heritage.
Starting from the 1970s, the context that gave this knowledge meaning is disappearing, due in part to the intrusion of industrialization, modernity in the rural environments, scholarization of the new generations, the attachment to tradition of the elders, and the attraction of modernity to the youth, the massive employment of adults. All of those circumstances lead to the disappearance of some traditional knowledge and practices rendered obsolete by colonial modernity. With regards to certain obsolete practices, in this case the witchcraft and magic, two very popular professions until the 1960s and the 1970s, are nowadays strictly prohibited. The ban, in fact, began with the emergence of Orthodox Islam from the reformist movement in the Orissian milieu from the 1940s. The expansion and proliferation of this Islam after independence enshrined their prohibition. Gejiba. Persistence. However, during the revolution, the rise of political consciousness pushed the people to reappropriate and to express themselves through oral literature and folk songs to convey with the same strength as would the newspaper the revolutionary struggle, the longing for freedom, peace, and heroic feats. The next example is about so-called outlaws. They were fighting the colonial administrations. Right after the Second World War, who escaped from prison and who then, by attacking colonial officials at the beginning of the 1950s, started what is called today the War of National Liberation. The song poetry evoked Germany celebrates the exploits of Uzulmat. Al-Fushi Num Smar, Al-Begeth Dugdar, with Hind al-Mas'ud Uzulmat, Sibir Arabi Mata Weblen. Long capsule rifle, dressed in military attire, he is the famous Uzulmat. My God, what a coincidence got me this far. In a more contemporary context, Oulé del Bahja is known as the most committed football supergroup in Algeria. The collective would be made up of 50 members, including supporters and adherent members. Some of them are academics, others unemployed, all working on writing songs, drawing from Shahabi, rap, using humor and poetry. In 2018 in Algiers, the group of supporters used the scenario of the Netflix show La Casa de Papel to allude to the embezzlement of public money by the government in a chant. The inner circle of power sit at the palace of El Muradia, which gave the title La Casa del Muradia. This has been one of the spark for the popular uprising that are happening since in Algeria. In today's Shawiya diaspora, there is a longing for those ancestral traditions despite the generational trauma that can block younger generation from accessing it. Nevertheless, some snippets still transpire through superstition and little practice, use of salt, incense, prayer for the ancestors, marabou, magical tales.
While superstitions may seem silly, for the diaspora, they're a way of connecting with our family's culture. I grew up around these things as unquestioned facts, scared to share them with friends out of fear they would think I was strange. But there's comfort in these beliefs for diasporic families. For diaspora cultures in the West, many beliefs have been adapted even further with the geographical shifts, incorporating elements of the new assimilated culture. However, for some, unsettling superstitions are a map of family migration.
Looking at the historical and cultural context, their practice of magic, the decline and erasure of the culture and the persistence, I wonder now, where is the magic in the storytelling and oral tradition? What are the tools and uses of this storytelling?